Hi there, I'm David Flowers and you're listening to First We Lift, a podcast dedicated to improving your personal best and unlocking your maximum potential. Thanks so much for tuning in and allowing me to be your personal trainer in your pocket who can guide you away from a fitness world full of negativity and confusion. I really do hope these conversations around training and the many facets found within it provide you with the solutions and ultimately the power to change for the better. Hello and welcome to the First We Lift podcast. Today's episode, lifting weights for beginners. The reason why I wanted to talk about this is because I think there's not enough information out there when it comes to beginner weight training. A lot of trainers especially are learning more advanced training methods from people that they follow, and typically they then pass that on to their clients, which in many cases are beginners. And I think the reason for this is, and the reason why also people chase more advanced training methods, is because beginner training isn't sexy. And I can only think of that as the only reason why. And that's what people often do, right? They'll often look at the new shiny thing that gets their attention. But ultimately, beginner training isn't sexy. But I'm going to lay out in these episodes how a beginner should approach their training so you can actually have some practical takeaways to actually be able to train not only yourself, but for personal trainers as well, training the clients that they deal with and the people that come through the door at their gym. So first and foremost, there is a bit of a common misconception amongst lots of individuals that the more they do, the faster they're going to progress. And this is often not true and can be very counterproductive. And I think that starts with people think they can do more is because they overestimate their level of advancement and think they're more advanced than what they are. Typically men, especially when I see intake forms and they put advanced. I'm like, yeah, of course you are, mate. And then we get them in the gym and it's like, fucking hell, geez. Like, who's told you you were advanced? But like I said, just the guy thing typically. So starting with too much training volume, too much intensity, it is going to just lead to adherence issues down the line, because beginners are going to be obviously more susceptible to muscle damage and fatigue if it's not managed, and it'll ultimately just end up people dreading the training. So it's important when it comes to beginners, we want maximal gains with minimal training volume to leave room for future progression, especially when gains start to slow down. And that's what I really get excited about as a trainer. Like, where can I start someone? Not where can I go with somebody? Because what we can often do as trainers is just throw too much at people too soon, and then we have nowhere to bloody go with them. We're like, oh shit, where do I go with this person now? Because I've kind of threw all my fucking tools off my tool belt at them. I'll give them too much training volume and intensity. And it's just like, yeah, we're next. Or that client, because they're brand new, they just can't walk for a week because you've given shitloads of fucking walking lunges and things like that. And you wonder why they're telling you they're taking painkillers and not there for the next week because they're too sore, because their expectations was different to what they got. And obviously, over time, you can educate them on that. But when the people first walk through the door as a beginner, we don't want to be really doing that with them. We don't really need to for the goals that they are actually after. So beginners should focus on building a solid foundation with basic training methods before advancing to more complex or intense routines. Beginners are not elite athletes. They are not specific. They are non-specific people, non-specific clients. But they'll often make the mistake of being elite athletes, bodybuilders, and more recently, fucking hybrid guys workouts. And even more elite athletes, bodybuilders, start their training endeavors with these basic routines and they gradually build up over the years. And in fact, they even return back to these basic training methods through maybe times of travel, off-season, and things like that. So beginner training, albeit it's not sexy, fucking is very, very effective. Very effective. And it's actually something that I want to just say, there's no shame in being a beginner. Don't think being a beginner is uncool. It's very cool because you've got so much to fucking gain from this. Can't stress that enough. I wish I was a beginner again. I wish I'd maximized my beginner journey when it comes to lifting weights. But I was this person who chased advanced training protocols, and I wonder why I didn't grow. And it wasn't until probably 5-6 years of even being a personal trainer, I went to the basics and I started to build a lot more muscle. So even I felt a victim to this. So everything's coming from a good place. This isn't me, you know, shouting from the rooftops how good I am and any mistakes, because trust me, half of the stuff that I'm speaking about here, I'm kind of doing it off my own experiences as well. So like I said, we want to focus on fundamental training rather than trying to mimic more advanced routines. So what are the goals of weight training? I think this is important to understand, first and foremost, like your goals or your client's goals. So people lift weights for various reasons, including body composition, which is the holy grail, lose body fat, build muscle, competing in potentially physique sports, strength sports, like powerlifting, a strongman, or just general health and fitness. Typically, if you listen to this podcast, you're probably not competing in physique sports or strength sports like powerlifting. You probably just have body composition goals, general health and fitness. Are you a personal trainer who trains those people? So I'm going to pretty much just speak about those goals today, because that is who I work with and that's where my specialty is and where it lies. So obviously these goals will be different based on the activity. So if you want to increase muscle mass and lose fat, the good old body composition, physique goals, they're going to differ to somebody with powerlifting goals or Olympic lifting goals, for example. But for most, general health and fitness, and body is typically quite modest, focusing on developing basic strength, fitness, bone health, while minimizing time investment. And I can't stress that enough, minimizing time investment. People, beginners, people who want to start lifting weights, the clients that you train, they want to, they're very much likely do not spend all their life in the gym. So they want these health and fitness benefits. They want to develop the basic strength, fitness, bone health, whatnot, but they want to do this whilst minimizing time as well. So they're not like married to this game, where someone who has more real physique orientated goals, bodybuilders are lifting the most weight in powerlifting, Olympic lifting, they'll tend to obviously have or need, require more time investment because they're more specific as opposed to non-specific. Beginners are beginners. So regardless of their ultimate fitness goals, beginners require a similar approach to training initially. Beginner routines for various fitness goals will generally look the same with very, very minimal differences. And the focus for beginners is just developing a base of training, achieving these fundamental adaptations. And these fundamentals provide a foundation for more specialized training, maybe down the line. So if someone may get a passion for wanting to do some powerlifting, to do some other sporting endeavor, and I'm all for that. But they need to start and build the foundation first, no matter where they end up going. And this is the thing, what you may have heard for GPP, general physical preparedness, before you go into kind of more specific physical preparation. So for instance, like kids who are getting into sport, they generally start with a general physical preparedness phase before they start becoming more specific as they get older and they start playing football. But generally, they want to start with that kind of GPP phase. It's kind of the same. Beginners need to start with their own foundation before they may move on to more specific training down the line. But most of my clients, to be honest with you, who I work with don't. They're kind of just happy developing their general health and fitness, building muscle, losing body fat, and getting all the great benefits from that. They never really need to go and specialize anywhere else. They might take up the odd running or half marathon or 5K and whatnot, but generally, it's very non-specific, typically. So while there might be some slight differences in beginner routines for different goals, they're generally minor and they can be addressed as individuals progress. So beginners are beginners. How I train one beginner to the next pretty much looks the same. You might be thinking, oh, is your coaching not so bespoke and specialised and whatnot? To be honest, anyone that says that who trains beginners talk absolute shit and they're just trying to like sell their own services and products. This doesn't mean that it's not personal training. It's very personal, meaning that when it comes to this stuff, especially for beginners, over time, once I get to know people, get to know what they like, they dislike, things can start to change there. But at the start, it's all guesswork. Any programming is guesswork. And we're going to go into that a lot more. But programming is guesswork. And then I start to change things in terms of like initially what people can handle from a volume, intensity standpoint, exercise selections, which we'll cover shortly. I'll make little minor adjustments. But I'm telling you now, people that start training with me with the goals of general health, fitness, body composition, generally start in the same place because that is what works. That's where all the research is pointing to what beginners need when they start the gym. So I much care about what actually works for individuals rather than kind of blow my own trumpet and tell the world how individualized my training is and how clever I am as a coach. So what defines a beginner? Because I know you're probably thinking like, what is a beginner? Like, am I a beginner or not? Is my client a beginner? So beginners in weight training are typically those that are just starting out in the weight room, usually for at least 3 to 6 months. So that's kind of where I will kind of place most people. Or even people that have taken a year off training should also approach training as a beginner. And they may progress faster than obviously absolute beginners, but that's where I'll typically kind of start them. And on that note, it is a common mistake for a lot of people that I see is they try and resume training at previous levels of intensity, of volume after this big break, which just leads to disappointment. The amount of people that I've had where they'll be like, oh, I used to bench press this. And then I'm like, all right, okay, let's see where your bench press is at. And it's like, yeah, it's fucking half of that, mate. and like I said, typically guys, so putting the ego to one side is just even another conversation for another day with that one. But that's kind of what a lot of people do. And also, even apparent experience is massive. So people that have been training even past that 3 to 6 months mark, like I've mentioned, are not intermediate or advanced. You just need to go in any commercial gym and you'll see this because they still lack the fundamental skills, have poor training structures. So these people need to train like beginners again and correct these issues. If someone's been training 2, 3, 4, 5 years even, and they don't know about the basic principle of building muscle, like progressive overload, they don't understand how to alter training based on how they feel, they don't know the correct setups and execution of basic exercises and movement patterns, they don't understand intensity, like RPE and reps in reserve, I'm like, you're still a beginner. But again, that is fine. Just need to go back to that, learn these things, and then carry on. It's not a bad thing. You're not a bad person. And 9 times out of 10, your training will actually move forward rather than this being this person that's been going to the gym for 5 years, thinking they're more advanced than what they are, and kind of still trained the exact same and not really got any stronger over the years they've been training or built any amount of mass. So that's kind of the main things what I would kind of define as a beginner. And like I even said, people who are more trained individuals return to these basics to maybe reinforce some of these fundamental skills and techniques as well. So it's definitely a bad thing. So when do you stop being a beginner? So when do you move from a beginner to intermediate stage? Is determined by various factors. Pretty much what I've just mentioned there before about what you typically see, where people don't understand the basic principles of building muscle, et cetera, et cetera. But they should also like demonstrate proper form in major exercises, be able to complete the full workout without being absolutely gassed or getting excessive fatigue from them. And beginners should also get a decent amount of muscle gain. So like I said, I didn't maximize that beginner stage at all. But beginners can typically gain around 1.2 to 2 pounds of muscle per month for males and half of that for females in the first 6 to 12 months of proper lifting. So that gives you a lot of time if you're new to this, or you need to go back to the drawing board a little bit, or trainers who've got clients just starting out, you've got a good chunk of time to actually really maximize this beginner phase of training with them. So those obviously down the line who start to pursue more serious bodybuilding physique goals or just performance goals in general, they obviously need to transition to maybe more intermediate training down the line, because that's obviously going to become more necessary to continue progressing in muscle and strength. And it's advisable to maximize gains during the beginner stage before moving on to more advanced training methods. So really milk it. And I say this to the guys that I work with. It's like you've got so much to get out of people before you need to kind of throw all the tools that your tool belt or everything you know at people. Like, think back to the goals, think where they are in the training journey, and have they really earned the right to progress? Have they got the stripe on their belt? I remember when I was doing jiu-jitsu, I don't do it anymore. COVID actually fucked that right up. But I think it was something like a year and I got like one stripe on my white belt. I was like, fucking hell. Like, so in general, it's like that was a year and I got a white stripe. So I quite like that kind of thought process. I wish training was the same. I wish people kind of got that through training, but people just kind of do training for like a 3 months and think they're a black belt in training. And it's kind of the same thing. Just wanted to share that one. So let's move on. The overall goal of beginning weight training. So the main objective of beginning weight training is to just, like we said, establish that solid foundation for future training, regardless of specific long-term goals that you may end up having. You may end up developing these passions to pursue these other endeavors, and that is absolutely fine. But the foundation is the foundation, and it involves some of these several things that I'm going to cover. So first one is building a balanced whole body base of strength and or muscle mass. So for many people hitting the gym, building shitloads of muscle isn't the main aim. They just want to increase the muscle mass, tone up, whether it's for health, looks or performance. But when it comes to starting off, we want to develop motor control first, learning proper technique, building the foundation. These are crucial early on. So for beginners who want to build muscle and strength, whether it's for performance, looks or health, this is where they really need to start. And then once they've kind of developed that initial phase early on, where they've learned the technique, they may have learned how to contract a muscle tissue, all these things will be really beneficial for where they're going to go with their journey, rather than just skipping all that. And they'll get a lot from that stage of training, because they'll develop the muscle, the strength, and all this is going to improve their overall wellness. It's going to make everyday tasks easier as well. I want to go into the next bit here, is where what kind of happens at the start when it comes to training is that the improving like the neural mechanisms and just learning how to lift properly. So let's talk about a little bit about how your body adapts when you start lifting weights. So essentially, your strength in a particular exercise depends on two things: the size of your muscles and the various neurological factors. So in simple terms, we can say strength output equals muscle size and neural adaptations. So basically here, muscle size refers to how big your muscles are, and neural adaptations cover a bunch of changes in your nerves and brain that affect strength. We don't need to dive into the specifics, but these two factors determine how much weight you can actually lift. So when it comes to beginners, they pretty much get rapid strength improvements before noticeable muscle growth. Now, there is kind of lots of studies on this one, but more the earlier studies suggested that these gains was mostly due to improved nerve function, with muscle growth happening later. And then more recent research has said, well, beginners get protein synthesis response activated from the start, which is a key muscle building process. So on that, you're kind of left like, all right, well, do I or don't? So the exact reasons for this are a little bit kind of debated in the literature and stuff, because it may be that muscle growth in beginners is slow and quite subtle, making it hard to actually measure accurately early on. But in my experience, actually coaching people and training people, significant changes in muscle usually show up around at least a month of consistent training. I don't actually use in-depth things to actually measure this stuff. And this is kind of another conversation I won't get too much into a rabbit hole on, but actually knowing if somebody's increased their lean muscle mass. There is some calculations I can use for like FFMI and fat-free mass index and stuff like that. But we don't really know unless we kind of got like things like a DEXA scan or even like a an MRI scan. Like these are like more in-depth things that most people can't get access to actually know if they've increased muscle. But typically, all we can do really is hit our protein targets, progressively increase in our performance in the gym, and we'll start to probably see it from a visual perspective more than anything from pictures and stuff like that. But we do know that they are they're not as fast as what people make out, put it that way, especially when it comes to muscle. And when it comes to people who do get these body transformation changes, what typically happens is you just get really lean so you can see the muscles. And then they get a little bit of a pump on. And then it's kind of like, oh, they got really big. They've developed loads of muscle. But in hindsight, yeah, they may have built some muscle over 12 weeks for sure, but it won't be as big as what people kind of make out. If someone says, oh, my client lost 20% body fat and put on 15 kg of muscle mass, I'm always like, really? How do you know that? So they generally show up after a good consistent stint of solid training of around kind of a month, 6 weeks. I see the changes longer than that, and that's why I always like to push a longer process rather than thinking you're going to get absolutely massive in 4 weeks time. Likely not the case. So these early adaptations that are predominantly more neural adaptations, initially weight training, like I said, focuses on improving nerve connections, making you stronger without necessarily increasing loads of muscle size. So this is great, obviously good for strength, but it might not align with goals of obviously rapid muscle gain. But these adaptations, these neural adaptations are unavoidable, but they're very necessary before significant muscle does start to occur. So that's why I like choosing simpler exercises, which we'll get into in a minute. This can really speed up this process as they're easier to learn, less skill component to them compared to more complex exercises. So beginners using like simpler exercises might feel better and kind of pick them up quicker and kind of get more gains quicker, because the kind of, you're like, oh, this is easy. I'm just in this machine chest press here and there's not much to do other than move it from A to B, as opposed to maybe trying to kind of get coordination and balance using dumbbells and things like that. So using that kind of information, you might think that if you've got someone who wants to actually build muscle quicker, you could be like, oh, okay, this might be a better selection because there's less skill required to actually carry out the task. So going back to what I just touched upon before, is that some beginners might feel bigger due to increased muscle glycogen storage, but this is kind of more temporary and not actually related to muscle growth. So again, if you're going to diet down and get someone pretty shredded and pump them with a few carbs and smash them in the gym, they're going to look fucking big. But have they built as much tissue as what they make out? I don't think so. But what am I to say? I'm just kind of following where I'm being led with some of the in this stuff. But like I said, but I don't want you this to kind of think, oh, what's the point then? It's like, geez, I'm only talking like 4 weeks here. But like, if you was to train hard for like 8 weeks and like really dial things in more from a lifestyle and nutrition standpoint, you're going to see some and get some pretty tasty gains, going back to what I mentioned before, that we can get, you know, blokes can gain 1.5 to 2 pounds of muscle a month with solid training. So that's definitely needs to be taken advantage of potentially if that can be the case for newbies. So what are these neural adaptations? Neural adaptations involves just learning proper exercise technique, which is, like I said, crucial for skill acquisition and actually maximizing this muscle recruitment as well. Can't stress that enough. It's not just doing the exercise for the sake of an exercise. So for beginners, focusing on mastering base exercises and technique is key, regardless of their eventual training goals, whether aspiring physique or strength. So in summary, beginners initially experience neural adaptations that improve strength before building significant muscle. But once they actually master this proper technique in the basic exercises, it's going to lay the groundwork for progress to come, in their training goals. So selecting exercises for beginners. Just got a few more points I want to cover before I wrap this one up. I want to get it done in under 30 minutes. So for those diving into weight training, especially with general health and physique goals in mind, we often need to think about things like people's training ages, goals, individual morphology, and even what doesn't get spoken about a lot is the availability of kit, gym logistics, etc. And there's a lot of obvious hype around exercise selection, especially on Instagram, TikTok. But pretty much sticking to simple exercises that they are taught early on is going to be where you kind of want to just keep with and really maximize those exercise selections that you've picked, rather than just feeling the need to rush into some fancy new skills and exercises. Because like I said, skill component is a big thing. You're just kind of mastering the skills of them first before you kind of maybe get all those the good adaptations that you want. And what truly matters for muscle growth is whether the exercise creates enough tension and fatigue to actually stimulate the growth. So it's not as simple as necessarily saying compound exercises are always better than isolation ones, for example, because obviously there's differences in skill levels, body mechanics that make this a little bit more complex. And we also know that obviously more specific movement like squats, deadlifts, and benches are going to be crucial for powerlifters and whatnot. But for those with general health and fitness, body comp goals, they're not necessary at all. And especially for more body composition goals, the key is exercises that effectively target the muscles you want to train, create tension on them, then that allow for pressure. So in the beginner stage, it's just about experimenting to find what works for each individual. And it might involve paying attention to how the exercise feels, the contraction felt during the set, or even soreness the next day. Like, these are not things that are like make a good workout or make a break one, but it's just kind of trial and error. For example, you know, if someone wants to build the chest, they're constantly saying that the delts are taking the hit and they don't feel anything in the pec. These are just things like, yeah, you know what, maybe this exercise selection might be better to actually, like I said, target effectively the muscles we're trying to work, create the tension, etc., etc. And when it comes to exercise selection, keep it simple, stupid is my principle, the KISS principle. And I will cover this in more detail when we go into some of the programming stuff, but you can't go wrong with machines for everyone who's new to lifting. Number four is developing work capacity. A key milestone from transitioning from a beginner is just their ability to be able to handle a full workout without feeling completely fucked. So developing work capacity, training tolerance, starting any new activities, basically going to require getting in shape to handle the training stress, which kind of seems a little bit contradictory to it. But intense training is going to stress the body, and it requires a certain level of fitness, often required too as work capacity, to kind of like get through that kind of training stress that we're placing. So we need to build to a point of where we can handle those higher intensities and higher volumes that I spoke about earlier. And it's about reaching a point within each workout where it is very challenging, but it doesn't leave you completely exhausted. So having insufficient work capacity just is going to lead to poor recovery between workouts. And this is why beginners need to gradually build their ability to handle training volume, similar to developing the connective tissue strength. It is a slower process that is often really overlooked, but it is essential for long-term progress when it comes to beginners. And last but not least is developing these behavioral traits in training. So the goal involves building behavioral attributes like pain tolerance, consistency, and focus, which are really overlooked with beginners, but crucial for progress. It's not going to come straight away, but it's something that we need to kind of think about. And these traits, such as like pushing through discomfort, staying consistent, and this is what's typically lacking in beginners, but they can be developed over time, like I said, with practice. So without focus and consistency, like, progression in the gym is definitely going to be limited. It's not saying that we're going to always push everyone to extremes, but we do need to educate people that stepping out of the comfort zone. We'll actually progress them every now and again. Gradually, we want to push them past their perceived limits. That helps them kind of reset the boundaries, become, feel more resilient, give them more self-efficacy. And these are the things that we can do by increasing this intensity over time with them. And a good coach is obviously going to be invaluable here, knowing when to push someone, when to step back, recognizing when fatigue is actually a thing, or is the client just giving up too soon? And then ultimately what we can do is help them push through these mental barriers, to push harder in the training sessions, learn to tolerate some discomfort, and make them aware that this is key for long-term progress. And we can actually guide our clients through this process and gradually increase their ability to handle this uncomfort in training, because it is uncomfortable, especially as someone progresses in the training. We don't want it necessarily to be the case straight away. And this is, like I say, you can't develop this straight away, but developing behavioral traits in training is massive. And obviously, like I say, having a good coach makes it easier. And beginners can develop these traits by following structured guidelines and gradually pushing themselves out of the comfort zone. Is not a bad thing for people to be learning. Okie dokie, we've done. Slightly gone over 30 minutes. Fuck. Anyways, I'm going to be covering part two. We'll start getting more into the training stuff and how that looks from like programming, volume, intensities as well. So we'll kind of get into some more fancy stuff in the next episode. But I just wanted to kind of lay out some of the things today when it comes to beginners, because this is important to know before we get into all the other stuff. Thank you very much for your time, and I will see you soon for the next episode.